Morning, JB. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Great to talk to you, Tom.
Hey, how did the debate go last night?
It went great. It was, of course, last minute, 5-6 days left in the campaign. My opponents were on the attack, but we did well. And with five more days, I'm excited about getting the vote out.
Well, I know today, for instance, which I said we're recording this on a Thursday, you're getting ready to do an event in the Metro East. I just saw the announcement for that at 6:30 tonight. So, when it comes to this, when the Coalition for Political Reform came out with a press release on Thursday morning, late Wednesday night, and said that J.B. Pritzker, between 1-1-17 and 3-12-18, spent $63,200,000, and they had it done in a pie chart. And yours was all orange, and orange said self.
Well, you want me to react to that?
Go big or go home, right?
Well, remember that this whole campaign began in December of 2016 when Bruce Rauner wrote himself a $50 million check into his own campaign account, and then he accepted tens of millions of dollars from the Koch brothers' right-wing network. And, they're aiming at destroying labor unions and lowering wages in the state, lowering workplace safety. And so I knew when I entered this race that we'd have to go fight fire with fire. Senator Paul Simon, who's, I think, a hero to many of us who care about public service, once said, that when you're fighting for campaign finance reform, which I am, you can't unilaterally disarm in the middle of it just because you're in favor of campaign finance reform and the Republicans are spending so much money. So I really believe that what I've tried to do throughout this campaign is to build the infrastructure of the Democratic Party, or at least of my campaign, so that we, going into the general election, we can win up and down the ticket for Democrats. So that's what I've been doing, and I'm excited about going into this Tuesday primary. I feel good about our chances, and most of all, I feel good about our ability to beat Bruce Rauner in the general election.
Well, it's interesting, JB, because there was a pie with Governor Rauner too, and it was a big red section, and the label for that, and it was big. And the term you didn't use, but they used in theirs, was mega donor, and that is defined, I think, in this as anybody over $100,000.
Well, they should have just labeled it Koch brothers.
Right. All right. So when it comes to money, the state of Illinois, we've got money issues of our own, whether it's the pensions, whether it's the budget, or a tax burden that is so profound that it drives people from the state. All right, we can sit here and isolate these problems, $200 billion pension, a budget that's been out of whack and has been long since before Governor Rauner came in. We're piling on. All right, what do we do to get out?
Well, I want to lower the tax burden on middle-class taxpayers and on those who are striving to get to the middle class and instead ask wealthier people to pay more. That's why I favor a progressive income tax, which will allow us not only to pay for schools, but also to lower the local property tax burden on people. Remember, local property taxes are incredibly regressive. That means that people who are poorer pay a higher rate on their property than people who are wealthier, who pay a lower rate. That's not right. And we've got to change the way we fund schools in order to reduce the burden on local property taxes and make the system less regressive. So that's what I'm after. I want to make it easier for people to stay in the state of Illinois. I think this will help us do that. I also, of course, want to create jobs, which Bruce Rauner hasn't done any of. And I've been doing it for a long time. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs in a technology small business incubator that I founded and also in my own business. So I know how to create jobs. Bruce Rauner doesn't, and that's one of the reasons I'm going to beat him in November.
One of our listeners actually inquired, so I'm glad you talked about this. And if you could, because there were two lines of inquiry when they learned that you were going to be on the air that Wayne wanted me to ask you about based on your advertising. Where were those jobs created? And you talk about a food program. Where were those food programs and how did they work?
Good. So let's talk about the food program first. The school breakfast program is a federal program that President Obama got passed in his first term in office, and it was not spread around the state of Illinois. It's a program for low-income school districts, so every low-income school district across the state, including in southern Illinois, is eligible to receive school breakfast grants. So I helped to expand school breakfasts throughout the state with that school breakfast program by not only advocating in Washington, but here in the state of Illinois to make sure that that program got spread across the state. So that's the food program. In terms of the job creation, in my own businesses, the jobs have been in the collar counties in Cook County and in a couple of other counties. But in terms of the small business incubator that I created, that's in a single location. It's in downtown Chicago, and that's where we created 7,000 good-paying jobs and helped people start hundreds of companies.
You know, when it gets to what's going on with kids right now, gun comes to the front. We've seen some Senate action this week, Illinois and guns. And here's the thing, we have very different cultures from north to south, something that I know you know. What can we do for gun safety while at the same time respecting the Second Amendment?
Well, I've been a hunter. I have no problem with people protecting themselves in their homes and having a hunting rifle. I'm concerned about these weapons of war that are being used with bump stocks and high capacity magazines. I just don't think that stuff belongs anywhere except in the theater of war. I also, favor the gun dealer licensing bill, which isn't much of a restriction to ask for. It extends the federal licensing program just a little bit. And I think appropriate for the state. And Bruce Rauner, so far doesn't seem to be in favor of any of the things that I'm advocating. The more important thing that I think we should focus on if we want to reduce gun violence across the state is funding a state budget that actually pays for mental health services and for homeless services and for substance abuse treatment. Those are all things that are very important. And then we've got to interrupt gun violence on the streets. Let's remind everybody that's listening that it isn't just Chicago that has a gun violence problem. Cities like Rockford and Peoria, Carbondale, also have a problem. And the problem has increased during Bruce Rauner's tenure in office. And part of the reason for that is his failure to fund those basic services that people rely upon.
Well, you touched on something else, and that's substance abuse. I want to look at this from two different areas. One, should marijuana be legalized for recreation in the state of Illinois?
Yes, it should. And I've advocated that throughout this campaign. It's one of the big differences between me and Chris Kennedy in this race. I believe that there are three reasons we ought to legalize it. The third one, of course, is revenue, $350 million to $700 million of revenue, and job creation, because we can create a lot of jobs by legalizing that industry. But also for criminal justice reform reasons and for safety reasons, I think those are all good reasons for us to legalize and expand the availability of medical marijuana, because so many people need it for other conditions than are being approved today under Bruce Rauner, who has basically restricted it just to very, very few conditions.
You know, it's interesting because we talked about substance abuse in a derogatory sense there just a couple of moments ago. Some people say that is substance abuse with marijuana. Well, okay, we're putting that subject behind. We're moving on to opioids, fentanyl, these items and products that are out that are killing people today. Because you talked about mental health and increasing funding for that in the state of Illinois. Some of this is because you broke a leg, you took the pills, then the leg gets well and you keep liking the pills. But another is because it fills a void in your life. And we'll call this mental illness because I think it is. You take drugs, you chuck them into the void thinking, this will make me happy. So I don't think those two things can be pulled apart necessarily, but opioid addiction is a problem and it costs the state a lot, and it's a safety issue. There are people right now that are probably driving down a highway that have had about four or five Vicodins today, and they feel they've got to have it to be able to get through their day.
Well, you're right to link mental health, mental illness with opioid addiction because there's a significant correlation. People often end up without mental health services. They end up self-medicating. And so that's a big issue. We had last year 2,278 drug-related deaths in Illinois, and 80% of drug overdose doses are now caused by opioids. And we've just got to address this problem. It is a true crisis. And, you know, there was a bipartisan bill that passed called the Heroin Crisis Act, and Rauner vetoed the bill. And I don't think he understands how big this problem really is, nor does he think that the state should be involved in it. I think this is a real crisis, and the state has to be engaged when you are talking about such an enormous number of deaths in the state.
Immigration is another issue that's occupied a lot. Now, you've got the downstate conservative supporters of Bruce Rauner who are very upset with what they call sanctuary status. He disagrees with that terminology. What's your description of the current status of sanctuary status, if you'll give it that word in Illinois? Maybe you'd choose a different one.
Well, I don't think there's any way that Donald Trump is ever going to be able to actually expel undocumented immigrants from the United States the way that he sort of promised. And frankly, I don't think he should. I believe that we should protect immigrants, whether they're undocumented or otherwise, in the state of Illinois from what Donald Trump is trying to do. I think he'd like to send stormtroopers around to pull people out of their homes. But, you know, my family were immigrants to this country generations ago. And Illinois gave my great-grandfather at 10 years old, he arrived here penniless, and Illinois provided him a place to live. A social service agency did that, and a public school education and a university education. And he succeeded, like many immigrants, you know, who are driven to succeed in this country. He succeeded, and it was the bounty and generosity of the people of Illinois that allowed my family to survive, because we were refugees, would have been killed in our country of origin if not allowed into the United States. And so, and here today, the success that I've had or my family has had is really due to the people and the state of Illinois. I think we should stand up for immigrants. I think the Trust Act was a good thing to pass. I think we should enforce the Trust Act. And I think we should make sure that our immigrants are not fearful as they, you know, stand in the, you know, in on our streets and work in jobs in the state of Illinois. Last thing I'd tell you is Bruce Rauner, you know, went to the, a couple years ago, he announced that he didn't want any of the Syrian refugees, the people who've been vetted to come into the United States. He didn't want any of them coming to Illinois. But in Pennsylvania, the governor actually went to the airport and greeted those refugees and welcomed them to the state. Honestly, I think we should be welcoming people to the state of Illinois. Immigrants are incredibly hardworking. Immigrants are starting businesses, growing businesses. They're an enormous part of the economy of the state of Illinois. It's good for the state, immigration, and it's something that I'll stand up for.
And here's the thing, JB, right now somebody's yelling at their radio and saying, of course he wants them in because he thinks they're going to vote Democrat. How do you address something like that?
Well, I guess I would say to you that there are plenty of immigrants who come into this country who don't vote Democrat. That's the first thing. And second of all, this is a matter of principle. It really has nothing to do with politics. I really just believe that this is a nation of immigrants, that we need to, as a principle, stand up for immigrants who come to this country. And if you really took a look at the economics of immigration, it's good for the state and good for the nation.
You know, it's interesting because I think some people, you know, a couple of moments ago would have been shocked to say, you know, the governor signing the Trust Act was a good thing. It's not very often you say something nice about Rauner. Would you say the same thing when it came to abortion legislation?
I would. In fact, at the debate last night, I was asked, you know, do you have anything nice to say or any compliment that you'd pay to the governor? And I said at the debate, yes, I think that although he was reluctant to do it, he signed HB 40, which is the pro-choice bill. It's historic. It puts Illinois at the forefront of reproductive rights. And I think that's great for women across the state of Illinois.
You know, what's interesting was when I read this story, and I think that was the Illinois Department of Public Health, I believe, that 4,500 women came to the state of Illinois from out of state to get abortions. Did you see that story?
I didn't see the story, although I'm aware that there are the states around us have such restrictive laws that that many women have to seek refuge in Illinois in order to get their reproductive rights met.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, although I haven't been able to get a handle on that yet. Here's the thing. There's a name that looms large in the election, yet is not involved in the election, not at least on the ballot, Mike Madigan. I mean, how do you address, when you look at these numbers, disfavored approval out of the Simon Institute, for instance, that anything to associate somebody that you don't like with Madigan, I mean, does he deserve this stature that he's achieved as this political boogeyman that sometimes even the Democrats use? Oh, he's control. I mean, where does he belong in this spectrum when it comes to advertising and rhetoric and campaign and money in the state of Illinois?
Yeah, you can't help but turn on a TV these days and see Mike Madigan featured in commercial after commercial, right? And that sort of began with Bruce Rauner. You know, he created the environment in which that was okay to do, to just trash somebody. And he uses Mike Madigan as a kind of an anchor to wrap around everybody's neck after he's trashed Mike Madigan. I mean, look, here's my belief that I'm independent. You know, I've been doing big things across the state of Illinois for working families for a long time, doing nothing about that with Mike Madigan. I think that when you're governor, you don't get to choose who the Speaker of the House is. And instead, when you become governor, you've got to work with whoever it is. It could end up being Jim Durkin. You know, it could in the Senate, you could end up with, instead of John Cullerton, Bill Brady. But whoever the governor is has got to work with whoever the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate are. And that's been my philosophy. I just think that, we've gone too long in Illinois now where the parties don't talk to each other. And I really believe that you want a governor who listens to both sides of the aisle, because good ideas can come from anywhere. Republicans have good ideas. Democrats have good ideas. And so that's just a philosophy of mine. And so that's why you don't hear me trashing Democrats in this primary. I'm a believer that Bruce Rauner is the biggest obstacle to progress in the state of Illinois, and so you've heard me talk a lot about him and not about Democrats,
because that's put you in a tough spot. You and I talked about this last time you were in the studio, because I was using my hands. Unfortunately, it doesn't work very good on radio when you use your hands. Going, look, you were running two parallel campaigns, one against Rauner, one against your Democratic opponents. But you started off with Rauner, and now you've spread out because you have to address these other issues. So without trashing Democrats, define the difference between you and the rest of the field.
Yeah. Well, the big difference is that I've gotten big things done over decades now for working families across the state, and really none of my opponents have, including Bruce Rauner, with 3 years in office as governor. And so I bring to the office of governor the experience of getting big things done, like expanding school breakfasts across the state, expanding early childhood education, creating thousands and thousands of jobs, running the Illinois Human Rights Commission and turning it around, leading the building of a museum that teaches more than 60,000 kids to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance every single year. These big things that I've done, those are not small. Those are hard to do, and they take years to accomplish. Those big things are evidence of my ability to bring people together. I provide leadership and vision, but I bring together community leaders and elected leaders, nonprofit leaders, and everyday Illinoisans who care deeply about these issues to solve for a problem. I provide the vision and leadership, but we all get together. Good ideas get in the mix from everybody that's participating, even people I might not like, you know. But we do it together, and that's how we get things done. And boy, has that been missing from Springfield for far too long.
All right, I'm gonna take privilege with you, since you and I have gotten to know each other so closely. I'm gonna take privileges, and I hope if I step out of line, you forgive me. Okay.
I'm ready,
dude. We're broke. The state of Illinois is broke. What are you going to do to fix it? I did the dude, because it's not meant as a familiar, meant as an exclamation. We're broke. Because here's the thing, JB. I look at your ads and you go, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this with healthcare. And I wish we could have time to shovel that in here, but we're running out of doggone time. And I'm thinking, look at these ads. He wants to do these things. And I think, dude, And I'm literally at home going, JB, yelling at the TV, we're broke. How are you going to afford this?
So let's talk about healthcare because you raised it. And honestly, the public option that I have proposed, Illinois Cares, does not cost the state a dime. The way it works is it allows people to buy into the Medicaid program, which is thousands of dollars less at cost, by the way. So it's not like we're giving necessarily a subsidy to somebody when they're buying at cost into Medicaid. And we can provide subsidies if, you know, we choose to do that, and Obamacare might allow us to do that. But it's no cost to the taxpayer and allows people to buy in. Why is that important? Average family out there can get an almost $3,000 break on their health insurance costs by switching to a public option. That's $3,000 back on the table. My whole campaign is about the kitchen table issues of raising wages, creating jobs, and lowering the cost of health care and lowering the cost of higher education. If we can do that, we can raise the standards of living of people all across the state, working families. So how are we going to get these things done? You've got to be creative. You've got to have big ideas. Illinois Cares is a big idea. You can go to my website at jbpritzker.com to read about it. But that's one really good idea that does not cost us much money. Another one, by the way, is if you have a balanced budget, which Bruce Rauner's never done. He's the biggest deficit spender in the history of the state of Illinois. But if you have a balanced budget, you don't end up with the problem he brought us, which is $1 billion of interest and fees that it cost us last year in backlog, right, in unpaid bills, just the interest and fees on that, $1 billion. Imagine what we could do with $1 billion of savings in the state if we just actually had a governor who was willing to sit down and pound out a balanced budget.
But JB, so, if we had $1 billion, then our pension debt would be, instead of 200, it'd be $199 billion. We're in big problem.
Wait a minute. Remember that people don't confuse a liability with a current payment.
All right.
So, you know, the liability itself, which is, I think, $140 billion, that liability is something we've got to pay over time. The Supreme Court has ruled, so there's just no choice here, even for those who say that they don't want to pay them, like Bruce Rauner. I think we ought to live up to our pension obligations, and we can, and there's a plan out there to do that by raising payments earlier than due, right? Just like you would on your house if you had a problem with amortizing, you know, and the increasing payments on your house. You'd pay the principal payments earlier and level out the amortization schedule. That's what we can do with the pension plan so that we can budget for the state of Illinois going forward and pay the pensions that are owed.
We used every doggone second. J.B. Pritzker, a Democratic candidate. You will see him on the ballot on Tuesday if you pull a Democratic primary ballot. J.B., I can't tell you much. Appreciate your gracious use of your time when I know it's very tight. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Great to talk to you.